Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Got any questions, comments, concerns, give us what you got. 204-269-8636. That is 204-269-UMFM.
How are you, Beans? How's it going?
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
It's almost a long weekend.
Oh, man, am I excited for that.
The weather looks crappy, so that's...
That's a Winnipeg long weekend, though,
yeah.
Isn't it?
That's usually the May long, though, right? May long's usually like, yeah, you're expecting rain and cold. But once you get to Canada Day, fireworks, outdoor activities, it's not supposed to rain anymore. It's supposed to be nice. And I want to build a fence.
Well,
how do I build a fence in the rain?
I don't know if you're going to be able to do that.
How do I build a fence in the rain?
Let's slow down a little bit there.
That was my exciting plans for the weekend. But
mine have a lot to do with stretching a couch into a longer couch. I'm going to put the old feet up. Actually take a weekend off, I think.
That's what they're built for.
Especially if it's going to be raining. I mean, there's no sense in trying to do stuff when...
And I don't feel bad about not building... Because if it was nice out, then I should be outside building a
fence. You should be.
But if it's raining, it's like, I can't even make excuses. I don't even need to make excuses anymore.
Not anymore. It's pouring. It's supposed to start tonight, they said, so...
Yeah, and my yard's all mud, so it's...
People, if you're worried about stuff tonight, apparently it's going to be a big storm, so...
I was checking the weather, and it looks like it's coming.
There's your update brought to you by Beans.
Yeah. Check on Regina right now, because it looked like it was hitting Regina at this point. Regina might not be there anymore.
If it's not there, how would we know?
I think the Weather Network would just take it off the map, wouldn't
they? If it's not there, how exactly would one know?
Control-Alt-Delete, and there goes Regina.
Oh, I got the map up here. Let's see what we got.
It's coming?
I'm taking a look right now. Regina, Saskatchewan. Let's see what the... No,
nothing.
According to this, it's partly cloudy.
It just disappeared.
It's partly cloudy.
Well,
I'm now going to the radar. Anyway, let's get into the hockey.
I was just saying, you go to a different network and
it says the
apocalypse is hitting Regina.
Well,
right now,
so. Listen, it's Regina. It's probably deserving of the apocalypse at some point. But
come on,
I got updates for that at the end of the show. Though we're gonna have talk a little bit about that in terms of what's going on. Okay. Anyway, let's get to the craziness because
we got updates on the apocalypse.
No. Let's get to the craziness. Let's get to the craziness because apparently, if you're an NHL GM and somebody drops a bag of money on your desk, you lose all sense of right and wrong. Any sort of fiscal responsibility you were supposed to be ensuring, you no longer have. It's just spend.
Makes sense.
Spend if you can.
That is probably what I would do.
Well, let's start with what didn't happen then. Because a number of these players, we're going to start with the restricted free agents who didn't get a qualifying offer. Because this is where the first money would have to be spent. And there's some big ones here, some pretty big names. I'll run through the highlights that we have here. Arizona did not qualify Freddie Hamilton after they made a play for him last year from Calgary. Thoughts on Freddie? End of his career?
We kind of said this is it for him. He's probably now either... going to the K or somewhere.
Somewhere. Yeah. Buffalo did not make a qualifying offer to all of Victor Antipin, Scott Wilson, or Robin Lehner. Lehner was kind of known. They already talked about buying him out. But Victor
they made
Antipin,
sure everyone knew that Robert Lehner wasn't
Victor Antipin him. And Scott Wilson were a little bit of a surprise. Carolina did not make offers to Klaus Dahlbeck and Sergei Tolchinski. As reported previously here on the Hockey Show, they are both going to the KHL. Joachim Nordstrom was a bit of a surprise, though. Did not make a qualifying offer to him. He's been kind of up and down.
Maybe plans for him to go other places, too.
Perhaps. You never know. Colorado did not make a qualifying offer to Nail Yakupov. Former first overall pick, Nail Yakupov.
How the mighty have fallen.
Edmonton did not make it a qualifying offer to Iiro Pekkarinen. Again, reported here on the Hockey Show, he's going to AHL, so no worries about that. Los Angeles, surprisingly, did not make a qualifying offer to both Jordan Subban and Tobias Reeder. And now Reeder apparently has got all sorts of interests. So.
Yeah, I mean, great player. I mean, he's...
I like him. I thought the Jets should have picked him up the trade deadline last year when LA did. But
quick winger.
Montreal not qualifying Daniel Carr, who has like 35 points in 90 games, and Zach Vukali. Zach Vukali, you may remember, is a Spengler Cup winner.
Yep. Never really given an opportunity.
Nope.
Much.
World Junior, big star there, but...
Yeah. He's played in that Montreal organization.
He's been all over the place
in Tampa Bay, too.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Islanders, I don't know what Lou's doing, but Lou's decided that he's going to blow up the team a little bit here by not qualifying Brandon Davidson, who they traded for at the trade deadline last year. Shane Prince, who they made a big play for in terms of getting him from Ottawa, and Alan Quine.
You know, Lou likes to make his team look like Lou teams. So,
but again, these all three players were serviceable, especially Davidson as a third pairing last year. He was actually fairly good.
Yeah, maybe he thinks these guys are gonna make too much, and that Johnny T situation. I mean, they got tons of cap room in on the island right now. I think they had like 30 something mil.
But this is what I'm saying. Like, there's enough room to sign a couple of these guys for a few million.
So
bucks,
I mean, obviously they're out there. He's looking to make some deals. I guess I'm not sure.
Ottawa did the unthinkable in letting Frederick Claesson go. I liked Frederick Claesson. I thought he was a pretty physical defenseman for them.
But we talked about them signing Chris Weidman.
Again, Chris Weidman, we'll talk about in a second, but he's back.
Ottawa doing Ottawa things.
Philly announced and made it very clear they weren't bringing back Peter Mrazek, so he's gone.
Which would be a great pickup, I think, for anybody to pick up that backup goaltender.
See,
for cheap.
If Peter Mrazek played like he did in Detroit, Peter Mrazek's a hole in the earth. But if Peter Mrazek played like he did in Philadelphia, okay, we're not bad.
A little bit of a team behind him.
I mean, Philadelphia wasn't the greatest defensive team. He didn't have the best stats there, but he won six games, got them into the playoffs.
And then he gets benched.
Yeah, and then we never hear from him again.
We got to go with Brad Elliott, the playoff performer of the lifetime.
Him and Michael Neuwirth. Pittsburgh not qualifying Tom Kuhnhackl, who was an important part of their two Stanley Cup victories, and Riley Shahan, although they are negotiating with Shahan, sounds like he will be back, just at a reduced rate from
making room there in Pittsburgh for some guys.
San Jose questionably not qualifying Dylan DeMello. I thought he'd be back for sure. Vancouver not qualifying defenseman Derek Pouliot. That might be a saving grace for Pouliot because he wasn't very good either. Washington not offering a qualifying offer to Devontae Smith-Pelly, but we know he got signed. We'll talk about that in a second as well. And Winnipeg not offering I'm going to highlight all four of these players because we talked about all four of these players, but most notably Joe Morrow, goaltender Jamie Phillips, Jimmy Lodge, and Jan Kostelec.
And we know that Morrow got signed.
Right. Morrow's back for 1 year at $1 million. Phillips still out there. Lodge and Kostelec played in the ECHL last year, so I'm thinking this is a way for them just to free up some of those NHL contract spots. But
Jamie Phillips is a surprise. I thought he was...
I was a little surprised by that as well, but when you consider him in the long-term plans, maybe he wanted to go elsewhere. Maybe that's why they didn't qualify him.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, right now he's... Let's nix out Steve Mason. He's the number three guy on the depth chart when it comes to...
I would say number four.
You would think number four?
I think Michael Burden's got a better
shot.
Really?
You think Michael Burden's going to be...
I think he's got a better shot at being a long-term goalie for the Jets simply because he doesn't seem to understand that he's not supposed to be here.
Like Michael Burden doesn't?
Michael Burden's supposed to be in camp, but I don't think he understands that he's not supposed to be where he's at right now.
He
seems to be coming along a lot better than what everybody expected him to, and because he doesn't speak the language very well, I don't think he's got that sort of sense of, like...
You
might be a little bit better than where we thought you'd be, sort of idea. So,
what? I mean, that's positive.
It's a positive. That's what I'm saying. It's a positive. But I would say Phillips would probably be a 3-3A in terms of that Michael Burden situation, though.
But I mean, he could. I mean, I guess for this year it would be Connor Hellebuck and Steve Mason again would be the tandem this year. I know we've talked about the Jets should buy out Steve Mason, but we know Chevy and his issues with those situations, and that doesn't happen very often. But you think that Jamie Phillips, Eric Comrie would have been 1-2 in the AHL. And Jamie Phillips had quite a bit of time up with the NHL being a backup goalie.
Well,
because they wanted to keep Eric Comrie in the A.
And Michael Hutchinson.
And Michael Hutchinson. So, I mean...
Okay, so now that we've got all the restricted free agents out of the way who didn't get qualifying offer, all those guys are free agents. There's a ton of them that are up for free agents. Most of them are young guys. Most of them will be AHLers, probably even ECHLers.
Good contracts you can probably pick up.
Yeah, you can
fill in some
holes and stuff in terms of getting some players going. But let's get to the big guys now, and we'll start with the Jets obviously signing Joe Morrow to a 1 year, $1 million contract. Yeah. Yay or nay for that?
Yay. I think a lot of people were disappointed to see him on the them not signing him.
Right.
And then Jets quickly came out the next day and signed him to that contract. So we were talking about before the show how there probably was a deal in with Joe Morrow not qualifying him.
Yeah.
Telling him, we're not going to qualify you, but once that qualifying period is over, we're going to sign you to a contract. So.
And Washington re-signing Devontae Smith-Pelly to a 1 year, $1 million deal as well.
Yeah. I think it was a great... I mean, he was one of the key...
He apparently turned down more money elsewhere to come back to Washington.
I mean, I think... he's kind of been tossed around the NHL a little bit in his young
Ducks, Devils,
NHL career and not really given the opportunity. I think
Montreal.
He proved himself in Washington this year on that playoff run, and he was a key piece of that. He wants to be where he's wanted.
I think that's a good idea as well. He had a great playoff run as well. 7 goals in the playoffs there. It was fantastic to watch as well.
Yeah.
Let's get to the craziness now. Washington on draft day on Friday traded Philip Grubauer and Brooks Orpik for a second-round pick from the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado then buying out, or at least letting them know they're buying out, Brooks Orpik to allow him to become a free agent, basically meaning that Washington traded Philip Grubauer for a second-round pick, which would mean that Colorado now has the Washington goaltender tandem from 2008-2009 for a first and a second-round pick.
Yeah. Backup goalie and a backup goalie from Washington.
Good idea, bad ideas. Do you like this idea?
I think
like what Colorado's doing in terms of putting together Grubauer and Varlamov again?
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like. I mean, I'm sure they're going to be tandem. It's going to be a tandem experience. They're going to play half and half pretty much. But
both are great goaltenders in the regular season. Can't win a game if their life depended
exactly
on the playoffs.
So you know what? Like for Colorado, hey, get me through to that playoffs and we'll see what happens.
Washington then decided to use that cap room as they opened up the Grubauer Brooks Orpik money to sign John Carlson to an 8-year, $64 million deal, making him the richest man in Washington.
Which screws everybody else up. Which makes everybody like, why did you do that?
Again, this is one of those contracts though where you kind of go, he's going to get that on the open market, we're going to have to spend the money now.
Yeah.
The problem, though, is that you don't even get into a bidding war. You're just giving it to the guy, and now everybody else is going to have a bidding war for their guy.
Everybody else is like, okay, now we need this much money. And you're like, well, you're not worth that much. But
speaking of not worth that much, the next one baffled me to no end. Los Angeles won the Ilya Kovalchuk sweepstakes at a price of 3 years, $6.25 million per.
I think the rumor there was that other teams offered him the same amount of money. It was he wanted that 3-year term.
So here's what I have the problem.
Yeah.
Ilya Kovalchuk is 35 and older, which means his contract is guaranteed regardless of what he does.
Yeah.
So if Ilya Kovalchuk comes over, ties up his skates, pulls a groin and never plays again, Ilya Kovalchuk gets $19 million for never playing a game. Because it's a guaranteed contract after that age.
Yeah. I thought that anybody to sign Ilya Kovalchuk was going to be a bad idea.
That amount of money is not a bad idea. That amount of money is career suicide.
Yeah, and I mean, he wasn't coming here for anything less. And that's the thing is that...
Yes, he was. I'm sorry. You cannot look at this and go, you know what? I've seen the way the guy plays. He's 36 or whatever he is now, 35. I've seen the way he plays over in the K. Doesn't have the speed. No longer has the wheels. He's still got the shot.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to question him about that. But it's like watching a turtle on a breakaway now.
But I mean, anybody...
If you're going to pay him $6.25 million, if you're going to pay him $6.25 million, you might as well give Datsyuk $11 or $12 million then.
Yeah.
Because Datsyuk was the guy who drove the bus in SKA last year.
Yeah, and I think it is too much. I think it's way too much money for him. But I think that any NHL team that wanted him or was going to go after him was going to spend that money to get him.
Again, career suicide.
They're delusional of what he... They're,
there is no way
they're
that...
They're giving him money on
past. Hold on. There is no way that Boston was going to give him $2 million 2 years at $12.5 million. There's no way Boston would have given him that amount of money.
Well, that's why he didn't go to Boston.
But he took... Apparently, he wanted the longer deal. That's why he took the LA. And LA gave him, again, an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
But there's no way Boston offered $12 million for 2 years. That's more money than they offered to Ginla when he was there.
But if it was just based on term, they must have given him something close to that.
Why? For what purpose?
It's delusional. It's based on previous performance in the NHL.
You know what? Here's the thing. His previous performance was, I don't like my contract. I'm going home.
Yeah, exactly. But hold on. Previous attitude.
Hold on.
That's not so much performance.
I don't like my contract. Now it's a guaranteed contract. I don't like my contract. I'm going home.
Yeah. Yeah, now that he's guaranteed, it's like, I don't have to play now.
Really. I mean, he can, but he probably will.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to make him, but...
Well, he says he wants to win a Stanley Cup.
Then why go to LA?
That's what I was going to just say.
Like, get your head screwed on. If you want to go hang out on the beaches, you know, in Venice, wherever you want to go, Hollywood, whatever you think your next step is, if you're Ilya Kovalchuk, good for you.
He's made his money.
But then why go there? Why go to L.A.?
He's made his money. If he wanted to come back to win a Stanley Cup, he's won a Gagarin Cup. He's won an Olympic gold medal now. Wants to win a Stanley Cup. Yeah, maybe L.A. wouldn't have been the best. A team that's on the...
A team that got swept.
The decline? Can we say decline? They're on the decline?
A team that's going to have all sorts of money problems next year when Drew Doughty comes up.
Since Carlson got his 8-8, he's...
All right, let's continue on, because this is driving me bananas. That's I can't even talk about this.
I wouldn't have offered him anything, so it doesn't even matter.
Tampa Bay re-signs JT Miller after qualifying him to a 5-year deal worth $5.25 million per. That's a lot of money for JT Miller.
Yeah, now they're talking about Tyler Johnson being gone and...
Hi, my name's Kucherov. I got a big deal coming up.
It was Tyler Johnson and another guy that they were talking
about. Andre Palat?
No, it wasn't Palat. It was someone else. Someone else there. But they were talking about two guys, two of their mainstays, who are their one of their top performers, you know, anyways. And
JT Miller of all players. JT Miller.
Wouldn't you give a guy like Tyler Johnson?
JT Miller, to me, was Callahan Light. He didn't do anything that impressed me in the playoffs. Sure, he was a physical presence. He went down. He played
Callahan
hard in the corner.
Was another guy. I don't know.
But it doesn't matter, though. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, they've already pushed out Chris Kunitz. He's not coming back.
Yeah.
And they were that was a guy that we want him. We want that grit.
Experience. And,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get a guy that's... What's his point totals? Like, a guy that probably never... Probably
I don't think he's ever scored
more than 20
goals. I don't think he's ever scored 20. I don't think he's ever scored more than 40 points a season.
Yeah, so why... Why that much?
I don't know. St. Louis signed Nikita Soshnikov, who they picked up from Toronto last year, to a one-year, one-way extension. Mm-hmm. So he'll be playing with the Blues next year from what it looks like.
Or sitting in the press box.
Unless they waive him, yeah.
Or sitting in the press box.
Ottawa, as we mentioned, extended Chris Weidman for one more year. Congratulations, Ottawa. You got yourself another fourth or fifth defenseman there.
Ref killer.
Chris Weidman of all players. Chicago and Vancouver swapped a couple of A's. Chicago traded Tanner Kiro to Vancouver for Michael Chaput.
Yeah, Kiro had a decent time he was up on the team. Yeah.
He was all right. Yeah. Tampa Bay then made another move as they locked up backup goaltender Louis Domingue, 2-year, $2.3 million deal.
Good for Domingue. He wasn't doing it in Arizona.
I don't think that's a good move, but whatever.
Good for him.
Good for him, yeah. San Jose bought out Paul Martin, a player who they thought was going to be one of those guys to really lead them. I mean, really lead the younger kids anyway, but... Yeah.
Getting older. Not... what's his contract? His contract was pretty big, wasn't it?
Something like the $5 million a season, $4 million a season. Again, you got to open up that money if you want to make the pitch to Tavares, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Who else did we get there? Columbus Blue Jackets traded Jordan Schrader, former Manitoba Moose Jordan Schrader, when he was with the Vancouver Canucks, to Chicago for Jean-Francois Berube, goaltender. JF Berube. Mm-hmm. So Columbus adding another goaltender to their mix, while Schrader is now going to be a member of the Rockford Ice Hogs for life.
Lifer.
Scratch that guy out. Arizona re-signed former Manitoba Moose Kevin Connaughton.
Saw that, yeah.
Well, that's another one. Reportedly...
Reportedly.
I'll do this one first because this affects the reportedly. Penguins traded Connor Sheary. Connor Sheary, who was an effective player for 2 years alongside Sidney Crosby, and the awful contract of Matt Hunwick to Buffalo for a conditional draft pick, which is a fourth rounder, which will become a third rounder if the conditions are met.
Yeah.
Which then opened up the amount of money that will reportedly allow them to sign on July 1st. Blue line extraordinaire player from Columbus, Jack Johnson, to a 5-year deal, reportedly worth $14.5 million.
Is that money
in
bag?
Total.
Is that money bags, Jack Johnson?
That is money bags, Jack Johnson. that is guy who couldn't crack the playoff lineup in Columbus, Jack Johnson.
Hey, why not?
I can give you $14.5 million reasons why not.
Yeah, just give me one. Just give me one of those million-dollar reasons why not. Yeah, I mean, he's another guy that career was great at the beginning, and he is...
No, it wasn't.
It was promising.
Promising's a better word.
Promising is the word I should have used, and it has never really... He's really never paid up his end of the bargain.
Bloody awful. Detroit, who bought out Xavier Ouellette... In terms of his contract, there are now a number of teams interested, according to reports today. Also, several teams interested, as we said, in Tobias Reeder. Four teams, apparently, in Canada already inquiring about him. One of them reportedly is Vancouver, so Tobias Reeder could stay on the West Coast if that's what he's
preferring to do. And Ouellette, one of them is Montreal.
Ouellette is Montreal, has inquired about him as well, so Montreal looking at possibly bringing home the Frenchman. Big announcement today, though, was Joe Resnick, agent for Rick Nash, announced that Rick Nash is unsure if he'll play next season due to ongoing concussion problems and ongoing health concerns, and he will forego the July 1st signing period. He will not take offers in order to not handicap teams that maybe need to fill spots that Rick Nash could fill.
Yep.
So Rick Nash, I don't want to say his career is over, but Rick Nash might be on the verge of retirement right now.
And I mean, it's good for him. I mean, I think if he understands that his health is more important than the game.
Yeah, no, and I mean, take nothing away from that. I mean, we talked about that during the Nick Boynton thing a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Players Tribune article that he wrote. But if Rick Nash is feeling like there's still some sort of lingering effects that are going on, it's better to get out now. Guy's got enough money, he doesn't have to worry about it. I know Columbus was interested, I know Boston was interested, I know Pittsburgh was interested in Rick Nash, but if he's feeling the way he's feeling right now, good on him for being upfront and honest with everybody and saying, I may not play this year. Yeah. I may not play again, period.
Yeah. Too bad. Great player, but health is more important.
Exactly. 100% agree on that. Speaking of a guy who did retire, former Predator, former Devil, former Avalanche, former Islander, former Canadian, former bronze medalist with Canada, P.A. Parenteau has
been
called it a
career. Been around the world, P.A. Parenteau.
P.A. Parenteau, who apparently played in the Swiss League last year, I think it was. Anyway, he's done. He's called it a quit for his career.
Not very old. I think he's 34,
34
35.
Or something like that,
Just realized that his options are now limited. Oh,
Penn died here.
Is that a first for the show? Penn just died mid-show?
Might have been. Penn died mid-show.
That's a terrible start to the 300s.
We're 301. We're one show in and we got a dead Penn.
That's what I'm afraid of. It's the first one.
Reportedly, for everybody listening in Ottawa, none of you, Eugene Melnyk has received and discussed an offer to buy the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, well, that sounds good.
Except that the NHL's Bill Daly came out and flatly denied the story today, saying it was complete fabrication.
Well, Eugene Melnyk should come out and say that it's complete fabrication, because usually he's the one to come out and say things.
You know who approves the sale of an NHL franchise? Not Eugene Melnyk.
Eugene Melnyk. For sure not. But, I mean, what are the chances that Ottawa leaves Ottawa? Probably not going to happen.
Not with the new rules that have been put in place since the last... After the Vegas expansion went through, basically any relocating team also has to pay an expansion fee now.
Yeah.
So that means that you're going to be
like
paid
$5 billion.
It's going to be like $1 billion to move a team now.
Oh, crap. Yeah, $1 billion.
So that'll never happen now.
No.
Some rumors that are going around before we get to some of the personnel that moved. Jason Chimera, reportedly TSN's Ryan Rashog, saying that Chimera interested in returning home to Edmonton.
Does Edmonton want him?
Edmonton at this point can use anybody.
Take anybody, yeah.
The fourth period's David Pagnotta reported today that Leo Komarov is apparently close to a deal with the New York Rangers.
Okay.
Uncle Leo going to Brooklyn, to the Bronx, yeah.
The Bronx.
Uncle Leo!
Yeah.
And then Tobias Reeder, again, four of the seven Canadian teams apparently have inquired as per Darren Dreger. Again, Vancouver being one of them most likely. I could see Edmonton being in on that as well, and maybe Calgary. The other team I could see being in that maybe is Ottawa. I don't see Toronto being interested. I can't see Montreal. Maybe Montreal being interested. I can't really see them being interested, though. And I certainly don't see Winnipeg fitting them in right now with all the concerns they have for Paul Stastny.
Yeah. Cap issues.
Personnel moving around. Former Tampa Bay assistant coach Rick Bowness. He'll join Dallas's coaching staff. Assistant coach there, so filling out nicely for Jim Montgomery.
That's
down
a
in
bonus.
Dallas. To Todd Nelson, Rick Bonus.
That's a bonus.
Exactly. Dan Bylsma has accepted assistant coaching job in Detroit. So Dan Bylsma, who went from being a head coach in Pittsburgh and a Stanley Cup winner in Pittsburgh to being absolutely abysmal in a Bylsma in Buffalo. Takes an assistant coaching, just taking steps down in his career. Pretty soon he'll be back to being a scout.
Yeah.
And that will pretty much do it for all of the NHL news, notes, information, player movement, that kind of stuff.
That craziness.
And we finished the first half in pretty good time here.
Record time.
I don't know about record, but certainly within the first half hour where we wanted to be.
Now we have to. Now our show's done. Then what are we going to do now?
Well, it's not quite done yet. But sorry. We're going to run off the legal ID here. You know what? We're going to do it early, too, because I don't give a crap. I do give crap, but
we don't care.
But we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the draft. Talk about some other leagues around the world in terms of what's going on there. NHL awards we didn't discuss last week. We'll get to that as well, and then we will talk a couple of cool things coming up, as well as Hockey Hall of Fame inducting 6 new people. You may not know a couple of them, or may not be familiar with a couple of them. And then we'll talk a couple of upcoming shows as well as July kicks off. The Summer of the Hockey Show, where we are going to interview everybody, like literally everybody.
I'm looking forward to it.
Like there are 7.5 billion people on Earth. There might be six or seven people we don't get to this summer.
There's 200,000 people born every day. I heard that.
Really? Summer.
That's crazy. That must mean there's a lot of people dying too every day.
That could be true.
Yeah.
You think that with population growing, there's more people being born every day.
Yeah.
But you wonder how many, like, what the actual differential
ratio
is. Yeah, yeah.
Death to birth.
I'm sure we can find out at some point.
Let's Google that.
Before we do that, though, we're going to give you a minute to listen to this. I don't know what this is. There's no description on it.
Last time it was long.
It's awful, we're just going to shut it off. But here is the legal ID here on 101.5 UMFM. Excuse me. It is the hockey show here on Thursday night. We'll be back in a minute, everybody.
Have you any idea of the value of the instruments you've broken?
In actual equipment smashed and useless, I would say probably at least 6,000 quid. You know?
Now, why basically do you do this? Is it just to build excitement?
When we first started, we were looking for ideas which were big musically and visually, and eventually we just started to smash it, and it went down so well that we've been doing it ever since.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5, broadcasting at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba. Remember, no matter what your mother told you, smashing things is good.
Don't take that advice, folks.
Please don't smash things.
Don't take that advice. It's not good advice. Where do you want to start? What league do you want to start in terms of bouncing around the world here?
Let's start in the Meta League, because we talked about how we wouldn't talk about it very much, but
okay.
We're going to talk about it.
Well, it's not that we won't talk about it much. It's just that there's not a lot of reason to with Brandon Reed and moving on to the German Elite League.
Let's have a reason to.
There is a big reason to, folks, because I didn't know this, and I found out the other day. Former Manitoba Moose, former St. John's Ice Cap, former Winnipeg Jets draft pick defenseman Aaron Harstad, has joined the Aalborg Pirates.
There you go. We got a connection again.
We're back to having a Winnipeg connection there. He played with the Idaho Steelheads last year in the ECHL. He hasn't been a part of the Jets organization for a couple of years now, but played with Idaho last year, and they were interested and picked him up. He's going to play with the Pirates next year. The defending Metal League and champions
there
next
you
year.
Go. He's going to a championship organization.
So Aaron Harstad moving over and jumping over to Denmark.
Just hopefully it doesn't take another 33 or 34 years to win a cup.
Yeah, knock on wood. We'll see what happens there. Speaking of the Moose, let's go to the Moose then, because the Manitoba Moose today signed forward Christian Reichel from the Red Deer Rebels, overager from Red Deer Rebels, after spending a second summer anyway at the Jets development camp. For those of you who think that Reichel name might sound it should sound familiar, he's Robert Reichel's kid. Former NHLer Robert Reichel, former Calgary Flame, former Toronto Maple Leaf, Robert Reichel, Christian Reichel is his son.
There you go. I was going to say, was Robert Reichel around with the Flames when the Jets 1.0 or
he was here. Playoff, yeah, that was way back when.
Way back, yeah.
Robert Reichel's been around for a number of different teams, but yeah. We'll stick over in terms of talking Europe. The KHL announced that the regular season schedule will be released on July 5th for all teams. So July 5 next week, everybody. If you're looking for KHL information, season will open with Akbars Kazan, your defending Gagarin Cup champions, against the Ilya Kovalchuk-less SKA St. Petersburg.
I don't think they'll have a problem.
I don't know. Akbars is pretty good. I mean, they had that's Alexander Burmistrov, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of keeping it in Manitoba.
He's going to bring a lot to that organization.
He's a Gagarin Cup champion. I'm almost certain you shouldn't disparage him now.
Yeah, I shouldn't.
WHL, you want to keep it going with Winnipeg connections?
Let's do it.
The Regina Pats today announced that VP of Hockey Operations, General Manager, Head Coach, and former Winnipeg Jets Head Coach, John Paddock.
The old Paddock.
Will step back from his coaching duties next season.
One win away from a Memorial Cup championship.
He's taken a step back, allowing assistant coach Dave Struck to become the head coach. Dave Struck used to coach the Saskatoon Blades following 9 seasons as a player in Europe. So Struck, a little bit of experience in terms of getting in there and understanding how the game is played.
Learned under Paddock a bit. And
Spent 4 seasons under Paddock.
Yeah.
4 seasons with Paddock as coach.
It's going to be like smooth transition.
Should be smooth anyway. Moving a little bit further away, though, this guy has no ties to Winnipeg, but Vancouver Giants hired Michael Dick today as head coach. Dick was an assistant coach with Vancouver in 2002-2003 before leaving to take the head coaching position with Lethbridge in 2005. He guided the Hurricanes to the WHL final in 2008 before his contract was not renewed in 2009. Since that time, Michael Dick's been working in Lethbridge minor hockey, helping a number of Lethbridge teams advance to various national championships. They are bringing him back as the GM there had previously worked with Michael Dick in a number of different capacities, so they are going to go back and get him going as the Vancouver Giants head coach now.
Relive the glory days.
Bringing people back all over the place. And let's go with a little bit more tie to Winnipeg here. A tie to Manitoba anyway. Former Portage Terrier and 2016-2017 MJHL leading scorer, Manitoba Junior Hockey League leading scorer, Jeremy Leipzig. Might know that name. That name might sound familiar to a few people. Sounds Brendan Leipzig tie in there. He's committed to playing with the University of Manitoba Bisons men's hockey team next season.
Go.
So
good pickup.
big pickup for the Bisons.
Where did he play last year?
He was with Portage last year as well. He's just leading scorer the year before. I think he was fourth or fifth last year in terms of scoring.
Still up there.
Yeah. Still a good player. But he's committed now that his MJ career is over. He's aged out a little bit. He's going to come and do the school thing at University of Manitoba and then lend his hockey skills to the team.
Get an education and have fun doing it.
Absolutely. And a couple of new affiliations. The Norfolk Admirals have become the ECHL affiliate of the Arizona Coyotes. Not that that matters to anybody. But this one's a little fun because there's a whole bunch of moving parts in this one.
Yeah.
Colorado Avalanche have announced today that the Utah Grizzlies will become their ECHL affiliate after former ECHL affiliate, Colorado Eagles, left the ECHL to join the AHL as the AHL affiliate for the Colorado Avalanche. So if you can follow all
makes
that,
sense.
NHL is the Avalanche, AHL is now the Eagles, ECHL is now the Grizzlies.
I guess winning two championships in a row
It was already announced before that they were moving up. They're going to move up because they wanted to have 31 franchises, 31 AHL franchises, one for each team.
Yep.
So there was no sharing of teams because last year, Colorado and St. Louis, I believe, split San Antonio.
Okay.
So they went out and said, let's take the most successful team that we can find, which was the Eagles, who were the reigning and defending
two-time
Kelly Cup champions. They went and made it two-time champions now.
Yeah.
And will now move up and join the AHL there in terms of getting everything going.
There you go. And it's good. Everything's close there. Everything's Colorado. Yeah, that's all.
Utah's right in Salt Lake City, so they're not that far away as well. So that's all right. What do you want to do next? Do you want to do draft? Do you want to do Hall of Fame? Do you want to do the awards?
Let's do draft.
2018 NHL entry draft. Anything you were surprised by? As we know, in terms of what went on there, there were no surprises. Number one, Rasmus Dahlin went to Buffalo. And then secondly, Andrei Svechnikov, who was reportedly going to go to Carolina, did go to Carolina.
Yeah.
Then few teams went off the board a little bit. I think Ottawa got a pretty good pick in Brady Tkachuk.
Yep.
We highlight some of the Canadian teams here. Jesperi Kotkaniemi. Yep. I guess we got to work on that name.
Finnish guy.
Kotkaniemi. A little bit of a surprise there. Big centerman. They like him. Compared favorably to Sasha Barkov.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're playing in Montreal. Seems to be like a place where you go and die now. So
yeah. And I mean, a guy that was... I wouldn't say he was off draft boards at the beginning of the season, but
he
way
climbed,
up.
But I didn't think he was going to be. He was not number. He was not ranked anywhere near number three overall.
No, not anywhere near. And I think he climbed quite high. So I mean, I think I think when draft day came, he was ranked at like number eight or something like that.
Yeah.
Philip Zadina dropped a little bit. I think a lot of people thought he was going to go to Ottawa.
Philip Zadina, right winger from Halifax, went to Detroit. Detroit actually but scrapped their draft board after they found out that Zadina had fallen away all the way down to them. Yeah. So
then
they wanted to go with either a centerman or a defenseman, and they took the best player available at that point.
And I mean, sometimes that works the best for you.
Exactly. So. Vancouver, who drafted number 7 to Quinton Hughes, brother of Jack Hughes.
Small.
But he's so fast and so good. Yeah.
He's got to work on that build a bit. be a little bit of a bigger, stronger guy, and I think he'll be a great, great pickup.
Edmonton grabbed Evan Bouchard at number 10 from London.
Yep.
Not a bad pick. I like that pick for him.
This is like 4 years in a row now that a guy from London has gone in the first round.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much London just keeps producing.
Yeah, producing.
Maybe the best draft out of any team in the first round, the New York Islanders at 11 and 12, Oliver Wahlstrom and Noah Dobson. Yeah. That is incredible drafting for the Islanders.
Big pickups for
them. Like, if you're Lou Lamoriello right now, you're not worried about anything. Everything seems to be falling into place. You got Barry Trotz. You got a good shot at Tavares coming back. You got a fairly strong draft class already.
Yep.
Is there anything that this guy doesn't touch that doesn't turn to gold?
Yeah, I mean, Noah Dobson just won a Memorial Cup.
Right.
With the Acadia Bathurst.
Yeah, Acadia Bathurst,
and,
yeah.
I mean, Wahlstrom's been with the U.S. national team, and I think, I'm sure he's won a gold in the juniors and something.
He's won a whole bunch of stuff,
so,
yeah.
I mean, I think he was a kid, came out with that video when he was 9 or whatever, and he did the stick on the puck.
You're right,
the puck lacrosse move, so... So, I mean, it's kind of cool when you're, like, back in the day, you saw this kid. It's cool. Now he's drafting the NHL 10 years or 8 years later or whatever it is. And yeah, I mean, good draft for them, yeah.
We bounced down the list. The next Canadian team was Ottawa at 26. Jacob Bernard-Docker, a big defenseman from Oktoks in the AJHL. Toronto, who picked up the draft pick from Winnipeg in 29 after making a deal with St. Louis, drafted Rasmus Sandin from Sault Ste. Marie, direct tie to Kyle Dubas in terms of what's going on there.
Yeah.
And that would do it for the first rounders in terms of Canadian teams at that point. So,
yeah,
not a lot to talk about that way. There were 8 Manitobans, though, that were selected in the draft. We'll go over those quickly right now. Jet Wu, highest Manitoban drafted. He went 37th overall to Vancouver. Kalen Addison, a great defenseman, who went 53rd overall to Pittsburgh. I think that's going to be a good fit for him. Riley Stotts went 83rd overall to Toronto. Connor Dewar went 92nd overall to Minnesota, so just an 8-hour drive for his parents to go see him play. Joel Hofer went 107 to St. Louis. Dawson Bartow, 167 to Dallas. Matthew Thiessen, the goaltender from the Steinbeck Pistons, he went 192 to Vancouver. And Jamaican... I don't know if he's born there, but kind of, sort of, maybe.
Jamaican
raised. Jermaine Lowen went 199 to Dallas. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to Jermaine. That's a pretty big pickup for being a Jamaican kid.
So with the last name Lowen, it sounds like he comes from a good Mennonite family.
He probably does, yeah. Yeah. I was disappointed the Jets didn't try and trade up and get Jet Wu, but
Jets. I think he was a Winnipeg Wild kid, I think he was.
Yeah, no, he did all right. I mean,
he was a CTV Sports Star of the Week, I think, one day way back when he was younger.
I would say that's probably pretty true. He's got, I mean, he's got highlights all over the place of him doing stuff, so.
Yeah, skilled player.
Looking at, if I can just bring this up now in terms of information here. Trying to find the information. It's not loading very quickly, but we're going to get that up anyway. Winnipeg Jets, I didn't think their picks were very terrible in terms of what went on.
They didn't get a lot of picks. They didn't get a lot of high picks.
No, I mean, David Gustafson, I guess, was their highest pick in terms of what went on there. And he was, they were fairly happy with him
big
in terms
center,
of what went on.
Big
yeah.
centerman, I mean.
Big good centerman, too, in terms of what's gone on there. So I have no problem with that in terms of the guys they've selected. Third round pick, Johnny Kovacevic. He looked fairly good in terms of some of the stuff that he's doing. Taking civil engineering at school, eh?
Smart kid
in terms of drafting another genius there for the Jets, I guess, in terms of what's going on there. But I was happy with that. Jared Moe, good goalie they picked up there in terms of getting him going. So I don't have a problem with who the Jets picked. I mean, they didn't really have a high pick, obviously.
Yeah, and
so there wasn't a lot.
And it wasn't a crazy deep draft. A lot of talent in the draft. But
3 centers, 2 defensemen, and a goaltender in terms of who they picked up. I'm just going to run down a few of them here. David Gustafson in terms of getting that going. Nathan Smith from the Cedar Rapids Rough Riders in the USHL. In terms of what went on, he was pretty good in terms of who they wanted to pick up there. Declan Chisholm and Giovanni Valetti. Valetti and Logan Stanley apparently very well acquainted with each other as they both played for Kitchener.
Kitchener, yeah.
So, I mean, maybe there's a future pairing there if that's what's going to happen. Jared Moe in terms of... Arvid Holm was another player they picked up. So, I mean, again, I don't have a problem with the way they've... Austin Wong from the Oktoks Oilers as well in the AJHL coming over front to Winnipeg. So, not bad. I'm going to say not bad for Shovel Day Off. Didn't have a lot to work with in terms of high picks, but certainly made out okay in terms of what he did.
Yep. Now comes the fun part for the Jets. And
Well, that development, that development camp slash free agent craziness that they're doing right now, like Vesalainen's already in camp. He's apparently hurt, can't take a lot of, can't do a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah.
But like everybody's drooling to see how this kid comes over and makes an impact. So we'll see how that goes for Vesalainen in terms of getting that going. Hall of Fame. Six new additions. I don't know if you're overly happy about all of them, but
well, I mean, it's the Hall of Fame. It's kind of like everybody deserves to kind of be in it, but you can only pick a certain amount of people.
Sure, yeah.
So it's always that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's go over the ones that are pretty much undisputable. Marty Brodeur. Again, three Stanley Cups, four Vezinas, five Jennings Trophies, two Olympic gold medals, two World Championship silver medals, a 2004 World Cup of Hockey gold medal, cover player of NHL 14, becoming the first and only goaltender, or no, sorry, the second goaltender. Because John, no, John, I think John, well, maybe Waugh was in there as well.
John Van Riemsdyk, yeah.
Anyway, cover player on NHL 14, anyway. Holds the NHL's all-time career win total at 691. He's like 150 wins more than Patrick Waugh. Like, nobody's going to catch him. Pretty sure... No doubter in terms of Marty Brodeur going in.
I thought about it.
Thought about it. Marty St. Louis going in as well. Undrafted NCAA forward. 1,134 NHL games, scoring 1,033 points. Stanley Cup in 04. Two Art Ross trophies. I'm going to spit that out. Including the 2012-2013 Art Ross trophy at the age of 37 to make him the oldest winner of the trophy. Lester B. Pearson Award in 2004. The Hart Trophy in 2004. A 2004 World Cup of Hockey gold medal. An Olympic gold medalist in 2014. Two silver medals at the IIHF World Championships.
And I think the biggest thing of all that you didn't mention, people told him he wasn't going to be in the NHL.
Boom. That's the big one right there. So
and I think that's the best thing on your resume.
A guy who needs no... well, you know what? Let's finish off the players, I guess. The Russian that's going in, Alexander Yakishev, everybody's going, who is this guy? Yep. What did he do? Why is he going in? Don Cherry even came out and said that he couldn't believe that Yakishev was going in before Paul Henderson. We'll get to that argument in a second. But Yakishev was essentially the Phil Esposito of Russian hockey. The dude was 6'4" and 230 pounds at his absolute worst.
Yeah.
And that was in 1972 when he led the Summit Series in points for Russians. Had 7 goals, 4 assists in the 8 games they played. He also won a pair of Olympic gold medals in 72 and 76 with the Soviet Union. Added 7 gold medals and two silver medals and a bronze medal, excuse me, at the World Championships and was named to the IIHF Hall of Fame in 2002. So guy's got...
He's got credentials.
Guy's got a few notable achievements there in terms of what went on. He also coached the Russian national team for two seasons, 1998 to 2000.
Yeah, he's done things. He deserves it.
71 years old. He's certainly done a few things to make him well known in terms of what's going on there.
Yeah.
Jana Hefford, a woman going in this year again. We've seen some women go in the past. Jana Hefford should be a no-brainer in terms of what's going on. Here we go. Hefford has won helped Canada win 4 straight Olympic gold medals, 1 silver medal, obviously, in Nagano, 1998. Remembered for scoring the game-winning goal in the gold medal game in 2002 in the Salt Lake City Olympics. She holds 7 gold medals from the IIHF Women's World Championships, another 5 silver medals in terms of the World Championships. She helped Canada win the gold medal at the 2010 Women's Four Nations Cup. She helped the Brampton Thunder win the first Canadian Women's Hockey Professional Championship in 2007-2008. Was named the MVP in 2008-2009. Scored a league record 44 goals and 69 points in the 2008-2009 season. In total, in over 3 professional leagues, she scored 439 goals in 418 games. Jana Hefford
sounds legit.
Is pretty much the best women's goal scorer to ever be put in the Hall of Fame. I'm going to say it right now. There's other great players.
Yep.
Cammy Granato, you know, is in there. Certainly some Angela Ruggiero, you know, Angela James, all those. Hefford is by far the best goal scorer that's going in there as a woman.
For sure.
So
She's made a name for herself, I'll say that.
Willie O'Ree.
Yeah, that was...
That's long overdue.
Long overdue and a no-brainer, so...
I didn't know about this. You might be surprised about this. Willie O'Ree, when he was asked to join the Bruins on January 18th, 1958, against the game against the Montreal Canadiens, he became the first NHL's, first black player in the NHL to play in the league. O'Ree had actually kept an eye injury secret that caused him to be 95% blind in his right eye from the Bruins, which would have prevented him from joining the team. He got hit in the face a couple seasons earlier, and it basically messed up his vision in his right eye. If he would have told them, he probably would have never been asked to play in the NHL.
Sacrifices, I guess, eh?
It's
you want to play.
You got to follow your dream, man.
Nowadays, it wouldn't go over so.
No,
well.
No, I'm pretty sure there would be a lot of
but
people
hey, man,
going.
He made history, and he.
But I mean, we're talking about guys like Joel Ward, Wayne Simmons, Alton White, who was the second professional player in hockey history to play second professional black player anyway to play. Madison Bowie, who we were talking about from Winnipeg, Madison Bowie didn't even know about Willie until his dad told him about it, and Madison Bowie changed his number to number 22 to honor Willie O'Ree. Joel Ward wears 42 to honor Jackie Robinson in terms of his contributions in terms of the sporting world as well. So clearly Willie O'Ree had a huge impact in terms of what's going on there.
Yeah, guys respect these guys and are grateful for them paving the way for them. And
yep.
And I think, I mean, I saw it all over social media, not just black players in the NHL, but everybody in the NHL realizing that this guy was...
And the Wayne Simmons piece, if you get a chance and go look up the Wayne Simmons piece from the Players Tribune where he wrote about, it's called The Astronaut. Wayne Simmons writes a remarkable piece about Willie O'Ree's influence on him.
Yeah.
And it really needs to be seen. And again, I'm not here to I mean, we've talked about the Nick Boynton in the Players Tribune, we talked about Wayne, but again, I'm not here to try and sell you on the Players Tribune, but the stuff that these players are writing, pretty remarkable in that publication.
Yeah,
so.
these guys live crazy lives and they like to tell you about it sometimes.
Yeah, so. I mean, and that's the thing. Wayne Simmons wrote a beautiful article about Willie O'Ree. Highly recommended that everybody reads that. Yeah. The final person going in is the one that we've had a long debate about prior to the show.
Caused controversy before the show.
Gary Bettman, NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Now everybody's going to say, wait a minute, he's a commissioner, he can't go in. No. He's the third sitting commissioner to be inducted, so it's not like there's not precedence for
which
doing
other
this.
Ones do you know which other ones were in
before? I believe Ziegler went in. I can't remember who the other one was.
Okay, is there any commissioner that's never made it to the Hall of Fame?
Yes,
there is.
Yeah,
okay.
Gilstein's not in there, for example. Gilstein was awful, but that's besides the point.
Well, that's why he's not in the Hall of Fame.
That's exactly why he's not in the Hall of Fame, exactly. Yeah. But there's no doubt, I mean, Gary Bettman has changed the way hockey has played over the last 25 years with him being in office.
No matter how much we hate
you Gary can, Bettman. Yeah, you can boo him all you want, but hockey is bigger, hockey is better for the most part.
Salary, just look at salary cap.
Salary, yeah. The salaries are incredible. It's a multi-billion dollar sports league now. It funds tons of charitable work for kids around the world. They do incredible things. Again, I'm not defending Gary Bettman and his choice for going in. Yeah. I'm not defending the negatives against him. Again, he's got to fix the concussion problems in the NHL. He's got to certainly figure out the labor situation by 2020. But the fact that he has changed the league so much in his 25 years, it's almost, I'm not going to say it's undeniable. It might be a little premature to put him in. I will agree to that.
Yep.
And Skippy made that point. I'll give Skippy all the credit in the world.
Yeah.
He made the selection committee was a little premature in getting him in there. Yeah. But there was no doubt Gary Bettman was going to be in there eventually.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. I mean, I agree with Skippy too. That's a little early. I mean, I think maybe the guys on the board were like, hey, maybe, you know, 10 years from now, guys will see, and you had another lockout in 2020, and all these other things could have happened in the next 2 years. Might not have got into the Hall of Fame. Some guys 10 years down the road on the board might not have done it. So let's do it now so we know that you're going to get in. But I mean, yeah, he's done a lot of not so good things for the game, but I think he's done more good things for the game than he has not done bad things, I'll say.
Sure. I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I hope that they can not have another lockout. I mean, we've had two full seasons and part of a couple other seasons that we've missed NHL hockey from lockouts.
Yeah.
And I mean, this whole concussion thing has been, you know, it's been crazy, and it's been something that, you know, they got to get a handle of, and playing ignorant about it. I think that's been an issue.
Again, we've used the term willfully ignorant. I think that's the best way to describe it. But
so I mean, yeah, I mean, he's deserving of getting in. It's just there's a lot of things that still need to be worked on, we'll say.
NHL awards we didn't talk about last week. I'm going to run quickly in terms of getting to the important stuff here, but. You get a simple answer from you, agree or disagree, in terms of who, if you disagree, give me the name you'd like to see there. Ted Lindsay Award, which is basically the players' vote on MVP, Connor McDavid.
Well, I disagree with it just because I think...
Okay, no, you don't have to give me a reason.
I won't, I disagree.
Disagree, who should win it?
Who else was nominated?
It doesn't matter, who else should win it. It's either going to come down to Taylor Hall or... Yeah. Or
Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah,
and I probably would have gone with Taylor Hall.
Okay,
but
that's fair then.
Yeah.
Norris Trophy, Victor Hedman, Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, I mean, Victor Hedman had a great year. I think Victor Hedman's a good pick.
The Calder Trophy, Matthew Barzell, New York Islanders.
I would have gone with Brock Besser if he would have played a full season. But, yeah, I mean, Matthew Barzell had a great, great year. So,
Lady Bing Trophy doesn't really need to be voted on, but William Karlsson, Vegas Golden Knights.
I mean, that's...
It's just most gentlemanly. Low penalty minutes, all that kind of stuff, so no big deal.
Yeah.
King Clancy Trophy went to the Sedin Twins because for their contributions to hockey. Masterton Award went to Brian Boyle, which is pretty understandable considering he beat cancer, or he's still fighting cancer in terms of getting through that. The Selke Trophy went to Andrei Kopitar.
I mean, the Selke Trophies pretty much should be for Patrice Bergeron all the time, but...
Mm-hmm. You're pretty much right.
Whatever.
Jack Adams Award, Gerard Gallant from Vegas Golden Knights.
You can't deny it.
Messier Leadership Award, Derek England, the Vegas Golden Knights. Sure, whatever.
Sure, I mean, I don't know
for,
who else.
For a team with no captain.
Blake Wheeler I would have gone with. That would have been a good one.
Vezina Trophy, Pekka Rinne.
This is the one I would have gone with, Connor Hellebuck.
All right, good. Yeah. I would have agreed with you on that. Yeah. GM of the Year, George McPhee.
Can you deny it, I guess?
Willie O'Ree Community Hero Award went to Darcy Hogan from the Humble Broncos. Obviously, that's good. A fantastic one.
Yep.
Finally, Hart Trophy for Taylor Hall. Do you agree with that, or should have gone to Connor McDavid?
Not.
I forgot.
Not Connor McDavid.
How about Nathan McKinnon?
I would have tossed up between Taylor Hall and Nathan McKinnon.
If you had to vote?
Taylor Hall.
Okay.
More likely.
That's fair, then, in terms of what's going on with that. Okay, so there are your NHL Award winner. For the most part, I would agree with you. I think the only one I really had a problem with was Ted Lindsay, just because, again, Connor McDavid won the Art Ross. He doesn't need to be recognized as the best player. We already know he's the best player. He had the most points.
Yeah.
But, hey, whatever. That's fine in terms of what's going on there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Although I don't like Andrei Kopitar as a Selke Award.
No, I mean, what was it? Patrice Bergeron and who was the other one?
I don't know. John Taves was in there for a while and somebody else. But I don't really know who I'd give that. I would almost...
I mean, that's got to be basically stats-driven, right? To be...
But again,
like analytics almost.
But again, how are you giving it to Andrei Kopitar? They were the eighth best team in the Western Conference. He wasn't the best defensive forward in the West.
No. Other than the fact that there wasn't goals for or against, probably against that for the LA Kings this year. They're never a high scoring team, and they never allow a lot of goals.
Sean Couturier was the other one. Sorry, there you go.
That would have been a good. Sean Couturier had a great season offensively.
Sean Couturier had.
And he plays penalty kill like a mother.
Like the guy's that's true. He
tons
does.
Of penalty kill minutes.
Patrice Bergeron ended up third. Alexander Barkov ended up fourth. Mikko Koivu ended up fifth.
Yeah, Sean Couturier would have been a better pick, I think. That guy lays it on the line every night.
You know what? I would have gone with Sean Couturier only because of the way that just, again, guy played way above where he normally plays in terms of his skill level. Kopitar, you expect him as the first-line centerman, not to be as defensive as he is, but both him and Bergeron get a ton of ice time because of that. Yeah. They play on the penalty kill. They do all that stuff.
Yeah.
Couturier plays on the penalty kill, but he's like second-line center at best in Philadelphia.
Yeah. But he gets a lot of power play minutes, too.
And I like the fact that Barkov came in fourth. I think Alexander Barkov's going to be a stud in this league for a long time.
Underrated defensively, too.
Totally.
Like, he's very much off.
I think because Florida's never on TV or never in you know,
yeah,
you rarely ever get to see him. So.
Yeah.
But either way. We've got about 3 minutes to go on the show here before Skippy gets on. I got a couple of announcements here. First off, if you're not doing anything important tonight, say around midnight, I know this sounds a little late.
There's a storm coming.
There's a storm coming, so you want to be inside anyway to do this. 6 new episodes of Letterkenny hit Crave TV tonight at midnight.
Problem with the storm is the internet doesn't work.
Well, that might be a problem if the internet goes down, but 6 new episodes of Letterkenny hit Crave TV tonight at midnight. It might be a good idea to check these out over the long weekend. Good Canadian content for good Canadian Canada Day.
Yeah.
Like that idea.
Why not?
And then again, we start our summer of interviews next week. I'm going to break this down for everybody easily. I'm going to give you the next 4 weeks of interviews so you can tune into the ones you like.
4 weeks in a row?
All 4 weeks have interviews.
Wow.
We are going to start next week.
We sound important right now.
We are going to start next week with Toni Ross of the Calgary Inferno. We had her on once before. She's coming back to discuss a few things.
She likes us enough to come back.
She actually is looking forward to it from what there she told me. She said she doesn't get interviewed by a lot of people and actually had fun the last time she was on, so that was good.
That's what we like to do.
Following her, it'll be another repeat customer as Fielding Montgomery from the defending champion Clarkson Cup, Markham Thunder.
That's going
to
be awesome.
Comes back to talk to us. She's got a lot of stuff to talk about, she said, so a lot of stuff to go over there. Following that week, we're going to interview UBC's Michaela Ogrodnichuk. Now, you might go, who's she? Defender for the UBC Thunderbirds. She was nominated this year for the Community Service Award in Canada West and at U Sports at the National Awards Ceremony for all the community service work she does. She's doing outstanding work out there, and I think she deserves to be recognized. Yeah. We'll talk to her, obviously playing hockey, but we'll talk to her about all her community service work as well.
Good to hear what she's doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. In terms of just how
and what we can do as a people to do stuff
help
for our community.
Yeah, exactly. Help somebody out in terms of going on. And then on the 26th, we're going to be on the road. July 26th, we're on the road. Well, hopefully you're on the road with me. We'll see what happens. We'll discuss that coming up. Sammy Joe Small Hockey School here in Winnipeg. And Sammy Joe Small has agreed to sit down. There is a bonanza of information we got to go over.
Nice.
Like, there is so much stuff that I want to talk to her about that... news that's come out, rumors that I've heard, these kinds of things. She can confirm and deny all that, but she's got a new job.
Yeah.
She's now the GM of the Toronto Furies. Yeah. She's got a whole bunch of new responsibilities. She's running this hockey program.
Is she still playing?
She cannot play. It's a conflict of interest to play and to manage. So she is technically stepping back from the playing role and will now manage the GM, or now manage the Furies in terms of getting them set up for the season. Nice. So. Be interesting to talk to her and see what she's doing.
Do you know who else is that hockey?
She hasn't announced yet, but she said there will be other big names there.
Ooh,
so. Ooh. I'm assuming Billy Bridges will probably be there.
I was gonna say
they're kind of linked there,
attached to the hip there.
I have also, which we'll get an update on. I'll probably have to take something out on the ice with this, but I have also been challenged by Billy to don a sled and get out on the ice with him.
I would, that's one thing I would love to try is a sled.
If you're there on the 26th, you coming out? You gonna do it?
Do it. If there isn't a little one in my hands, I would try to.
We're gonna hope and we're gonna pray that everything goes well with the little one, because that's the important part.
For my wife's part,
exactly.
I probably won't be there.
That's okay.
That thing is coming out.
That's okay. We'll see what happens at that point. We're gonna get out of here right away though. But again, if you want to tune in to any of those shows, folks, here Thursday nights for the entire month of July, you're gonna have lots and lots of. We have more stuff coming up in August, but we'll bring that to you coming up a little bit later once we nail everything down. For now. It is the hockey show, everybody. We are going to get out of here. Oh, what was that?
August. Give him an August teaser.
Okay, and I'll give you an August teaser. We're going to have another Clarkson Cup champion come on.
Oh.
Who has made an announcement already about stuff, so we'll talk about that.
That's it. That's a tease.
I got you. I know what I'm doing here.
Skippy's already excited.
And then the second one, we're going to have a first-timer. Both these people will be first timers, but a first timer ever on this show who wants to talk about a number of things that have gone on in this person's life that she's never revealed to anybody before.
Oh.
Exclusive.
You should have just said exclusive interview.
No. It's going to be interesting because I'm really excited to talk to her because there's a bunch of stuff. It's a her, by the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter, but... in terms of the information that's going to come out, it's stuff she's never revealed before to the public, and she wants to actually talk about it. She's comfortable enough to talk about it now, and she wants to talk about it. So
awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to be good. So with that, we're going to get out of here. We're now a couple minutes into Skippy Show, so sorry about that, Skippy. We're going to get out of here. Here is Panic at the Disco as we get out of here once more. It has been the hockey show here on Thursday nights, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week with Tony Ross here on the show on 101.5 UMFM.
Every morning I wake up, I wanna be who I couldn't say I'd ever been. But it's so much more than I ever was. If every night I go to sleep knowing that I give everything that I had to give, that it's all I could have asked for. I've been standing up beside everything I've ever said, but oh, it's Saturday night.